Hello and welcome to the RI Science Podcast. This is the latest episode of our mini-series where we interview PhD students to find out more about what they research and how they ended up doing a PhD in the first place. I'm Charlotte Collingwood, and when I'm not working on my own PhD in computational neuroscience, I'm an intern with the digital team at the RI. I've managed to convince five of my friends to join me in the studio to tell me more about what they do as PhD students. Please do leave this episode a rating and a review to let us know what you think and help more people discover the podcast. In today's episode, we're discussing pathogenic fungi, also known as the serial killer. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. So my name is Camilla Molinari, and I'm a PhD student at the Norwich Research Park, specifically at the Sainsbury's Laboratory. And there I'm doing a PhD in molecular biology, trying to understand the rice blast fungus Magnipole theorizae.
Amazing. And why do we want to know about the rice blast fungus?
So actually, it's really important because so it's commonly known as the rice blast fungus because it destroys 30% of the annual rice production, and rice feeds 3.5 billion people in the world. It supplies 20% of the food consumed calories. And yeah, just the fact that this fungus is able to destroy 30% of it, and also now we know it can infect over 50 different grass species, including wheat and barley, is just a very important pathogen that we need to investigate and understand.
Wow, so this has a massive impact. But how does the rice blast fungus actually work?
Okay, so well, the rice blast fungus is a hemibiotroph pathogen, which means it needs to, it colonizes its host, the plant, and there it will establish infection in a biotrophic phase where it doesn't kill the host, where it's taking nutrients from it, and then it switches and it starts killing all of the cells. So in order to complete its life cycle, it needs to colonize a host. And so we now have lots of new data that it's really fun because we now know that, like other fungal pathogens, Magnipole theorizae, this rice blast fungus, forms this dome-shaped cell called the aprosoria, which allows for the penetration of the pathogen into the host. And what I just mentioned that is quite interesting is the fact that it generates a massive amount of pressure, which is it's the highest amount of pressure ever registered in a living cell, and it's up to 40 times the pressure registered in a car tire.
Wow, that's huge.
Yes. So once it's penetrated the host, there it will start colonizing the cells with this bulbous branches called hyphae. And yeah, and it does everything very fast. So we can rapidly see the disease lesions within cells from 72 to 96 hours of infection of the fungus.
Wow. How scared of this fungus should I be?
So I think people usually think that fungus can be scary because they can infect us. And that's completely fair. Like, there is an outbreak of Candida auris, of this fungus that is killing a lot of people in the United States at the moment. But I don't think we should be scared of the rice blast fungus actually infecting humans. I don't think it's going to pass from infecting rice to infecting humans. But that doesn't mean it's not dangerous. So as I said, it infects rice. It also infects wheat and barley. And these are the most consumed crops worldwide, both from humans to our animals consume these crops as well. So I think we should be really scared of it because we, up to date, don't really have an effective way of stopping it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something worth addressing. So with all of these terrifying fungal facts, what specific question are you trying to answer with your PhD?
Okay, so I'm trying to understand which genes are important for the disease development of the fungus, which means, so not every gene of the DNA of organisms is active or on all the time. So we can think of genes as molecular switches, that they can be either on or off. And there's these other genes that will regulate if they're on or off, which we call regulatory genes. So I'm trying to identify regulatory genes that will switch on these other genes that we know are very important for the disease development of the rice blast fungus.
Wow. So you're trying to find the genes that we need to attack?
I guess so. If we were to identify some regulatory genes, we could target them, yes, to maybe target them as fungicides. With fungicides, I mean, we could find a way of, yeah, I guess attack is a good word, but I don't know if it's scientifically correct. But yeah, it would just give us a better understanding of how everything is regulated, and it would allow us to address this problem more accurately rather than using a very ambiguous fungicide.
So if you're learning about all of these genes in fungus in plants, how do you even get started? Like, what does your PhD look like day to day?
Well, that's a really good question. So I don't know if I mentioned before, but we've got this list in the lab where we have all of the information of which genes are necessary and are active or on when the pathogen is infecting its host. So as part of my PhD, I'm going through this list, trying to identify these possible regulator genes, the genes that will activate these other genes or turn them on. And so we can do this by looking at other organisms and seeing if they have similar genes to the fungus and maybe they're doing similar things. This is called looking things by homology. And once I have a candidate regulator gene, then I do all of the characterization. So this means I'll do microscopy and different cell biology techniques, some interaction assays to basically understand where it's going within a cell and what it's interacting with. So it's my PhD's got some part of a discovery part where I first identify something and then I need to characterize that.
Wow, sounds stressful.
Yes.
So that's a lot of hours you're spending in the lab. Did you always know that a PhD was in your future?
No, absolutely not. So I always knew that I wanted to do something in research, but not necessarily a PhD. I did a degree in biotechnology, and that gave me quite a broad understanding of different techniques and microorganisms that I could do research on later on. And it was only in my last year research project that I got really interested in plant immunity. So I decided to do a master's on that and the microbes that attack also plants. And then I did another project before a PhD in the lab that I'm currently doing a PhD. And it was after being involved in lots of different research projects that were never really my research project, which actually led me to think, well, I think now I'm ready and I want to do my own research and I want to be in charge of my own project for a few years.
Super inspiring. So when you were picking your one project that was your project alone, did you always know it was going to be rice blast fungus?
Absolutely not either. So as I said, I was really interested in plant immunity throughout my degree and my master's and then my pre-doc internship. So, but it was because I was in a building where they were doing plant immunity and also investigating the pathogens that affect plants, that basically led me to the lab I am working in right now. And my boss was very inspiring. And yeah, him and the team, it was great to work in that lab for a year. So that's where I decided that I wanted to continue learning more about the rice blast fungus.
So if you were inspired by your boss and you wanted to inspire someone else, what is one piece of advice you would give to someone considering doing a PhD?
So I would say don't jump into it. Don't do it because it feels like the natural next step. And really think carefully the subject that you want to specialize in, because you will be thinking and dreaming about it for the next 3 to 4 years and even longer if you continue to work in your PhD project after your PhD. So yes, just choose very carefully the project that you want to specialize in, and also check really well the environment where you're going to be doing your PhD. So is the team good? Do you feel comfortable? Yeah, because those other things are very important as well.
Very sage advice. Thank you so much. This has been really interesting. And I'm going to throw it back to you with everyone's least favourite question. What is your one favourite fact that you've learned while doing your PhD?
So, I think I've given you some fun facts about the rice blast fungus. So, maybe another fun fact about fungi that I learned in a conference that I went last year was that there's this fungi that are called nematode trapping fungi, and they form this ring structures and they are able to kill nematodes. And if you don't know what a nematode is a microscopic worm. So they form these rings and attract the nematodes, and then they go through the ring and then they choke them. So they are able to kill nematodes.
Wow.
Yes, there's some scary videos out there on YouTube.
I'll have to look it up. That's terrifying.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming and giving us all the terrifying fungi facts.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Thanks again to Camilla Molinari for coming in to talk to me. Please leave us a rating and a review to let us know what you thought and help more people discover the podcast. And if you want more science content, head to rigv.org for talks, live streams, blogs, and even more.